Welcome to another episode of Ecosystem TV. A lot of our customers and our content over the last 2 years have been focused on employees and employee experience. So it is a pleasure to be joined by an expert in that area today. Catherine Finch is a people leader with over 12 years of industry experience and someone who is truly equipped to help organizations as they go borderless. She has experience working in the UK, in the Middle East, in India, and all across Asia Pacific. And continuing on with this multicultural journey, she's currently leading the people strategy for two digital and technology businesses in Tel Aviv. Catherine, a very, very warm welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sash.
My pleasure. So in the conversations that we've had so far, it has become very clear that you have a passion for learning about new cultures and about cultural diversity. So that's where I'd like to start. So you have a truly global experience, and today we talk about global borderless organizations. So how do these organizations find the right balance between the need to have a somewhat homogeneous people strategy and at the same time cater to the individual cultural differences, you know, that to make them truly inclusive as well?
Yeah, it's a great question and a very big question, Sash, I think, because really when we think and talk about culture, we're often talking about the country culture, the country that we're operating in, but we layer that with the company culture. So we have to look at this from multiple angles. But whichever angle that you look at it, I think it's truly about finding the non-negotiables. So really, what is the cultural DNA of both the country that we're operating in, of the society that we're doing business, and the company, be that a global corporate and the identity that the company has, or something very specific to a, you know, a smaller organization. Once you understand what are those non-negotiables, I think you're really able then to find where the intersections lie. And knowing that these truly matter is really what's going to help drive impact. When you understand these dynamics, I think that's what where you're going to kind of drive success or find it very challenging to embed or implement those cultures, as we say. It's all relative. Often there's some similarities on some of the dimensions when it comes to leadership or influencing skills, but maybe a big gap on how people communicate in that specific country and in that culture. But when you understand what these local norms are and you talk about them, I think it's really easy then to explore together and build some flex through a, you know, really clear change management process. And that's what we see organizations doing, and organizations like ours really being able to openly, vulnerably explore, remaining curious. At the end of the day, the values are really what matter, and those are what you put in, right? That's the output is the team that work together. But having that open conversation, being inquisitive, and understand there are differences, and doing that without fear, I think really helps. The other layer that I would consider here, Sash, is just to note the diversity of your team plays a part. Their conditioning, whether that's a homogeneous workforce where, you know, they're really only going to have to flex a little bit, or, you know, a super diverse team that you might see here in Singapore, where you have all nationalities coming together with both their personal experiences from growing up internationally or working outside of their home culture. And usually in the first 10 years of their professional work experience is where they're getting that conditioning. And maybe that's with an international company, or maybe that's just in one singular market. And that's where the company culture can play a much stronger role to give that team or help give that team an identity that they can work within, and then see how each individual needs to kind of flex in maybe a different way.
So there are two things that you said in that response, Catherine, and it's, you know, very coincidentally, that's what my next two questions are going to be about. So let's first focus on the company culture. We have seen many organizations struggle with that, especially recently, yeah? And there are obviously multiple reasons for that. nearly 40% of the remote employees in an ecosystem study that we did, nearly 40% of remote employees felt that they were losing touch with the company culture. Onboarding new hires has obviously become a challenge, let alone, you know, ensuring that they fit into our culture. So do you think that a unified corporate culture is a thing of the past, or is it still relevant today?
It's a great question. And I think it all comes down to how we define organizational culture. I talked a little bit there about input versus output. And for me, and for what we see across our teams globally, it really ends up being who and what you put in, the parameters that you're building, and ultimately the diversity of your recruitment process. So how are you building that in your search process for talent acquisition? And so many organizations we see and hear the term culture fit. Is this person fit within our culture? And what we like to do is to challenge that a little bit, to find candidates who are diverse in their thought process and maybe sit on the edge of maybe there is an intersection, but a very small one, and they're far to the right side of what we would see as a culture fit. But that's really what helps us expand the organizational culture and ensure that we are creating a place that's both inclusive and diverse in its thought to represent both our customer and the markets that we operate. And ultimately, this is going to expand the culture and expand the possibilities. But it does link back to that DNA of the organization. You know, it's not something that the culture or the values of a company is not what you write and paste on the wall or, you know, you have on your background before every Zoom meeting. It's really the lifeblood of the company. It's what happens and how people act when no one's looking. And those are things that, yes, can be taught. And those are things that we learn and adapt to as we bring diverse teams together. But ultimately, it's the lifeblood of the organization. So I do think that organizational culture is important, but I don't think it's something that you can simply write today and expect that that's going to remain the same, because how it looks on the outside, the same as us as human beings, you know, our blood remains the same. But let me tell you, I looked pretty different 5 years ago than I do today. And, you know, we continue to evolve. So I think we need to remain flexible with that, but having, you know, that real DNA at the core. I think another part to this is really that future of work conversation in how we keep the culture alive. And you mentioned there that, you know, remote employees starting to feel that they're losing touch with company culture. And in my experience, we even have employees that have never truly experienced the company culture in the way that we would do. And, you know, pre-pandemic, people would even travel to our US headquarters to touch and feel what it feels like to work in our organization. I think we're still now finding the balance between what does the future of work mean? We now know there is more flexibility, and we now know that there is a more trusting approach from most organizations in having people work in a way that suits them and allows us as an organization to be efficient. But what is clear is there's still that need for human connect, and it's critical to building either initial relationships, particularly in the onboarding process, and maintaining relationships going forward. And that differs globally as well. We think about different parts of the world and how different cultures like to build relationships. I think this is going to depend on how companies choose to do that. And that's going to need to be different in different scenarios, depending on the industry. We see our tech teams like to be together a lot, even though they're probably the most tech savvy that can work well from home. They do like to be together in the same room. A lot of the organizations that we work with in Israel do that too. They really like to have their team together, but they are learning to flex and find opportunities to be more flexible in their working style.
You mentioned leadership earlier, and leadership is obviously very important in shaping company cultures. But I wanted to hear a bit from you about the role of leadership in promoting inclusion. How hard is it to do that in today's world?
When I think about the role of leadership in shaping, you know, our future and the organizational culture within any industry, in any company, anywhere in the world, it really comes down to those fundamentals of building diversity. You know, if we look, and I'll use my example of the digital and technology space and the teams that we work with, who are relatively small startup teams, you know, 30 people organizations, where they are trying to hire diverse talent. And they're trying to build teams that are reflective of the international workspace that they provide solutions to. But if you look across the digital and technology space, there really is a lack of diversity in those senior positions to begin with. Now, of course, if we hone in specifically on gender diversity, the challenge truly is most organizations want to hire and want to increase the parity between number of female leaders they have in their leadership roles. But there's truly a lack of availability of those talent to promote, to develop. And there's a real need to expose and lift those females within the organization to help unlock their potential and generate more of those so that we have access to a bigger suite, a bigger pool of female leaders that can grow, particularly in the digital and technology space. You know, and some of the ways that we do that, that I've seen be really successful and really help give female leaders a leg up is through mentorships, you know, fast track programs, jump the gap. How do you develop them both from a skills perspective, where you might find for multiple reasons, people, females generally taking time out, maybe to have a family or other things that can perhaps put them a year or two behind males in the organization. Or if that's in the leadership development space, in how do we expose them to leadership opportunities to help shift the number of leaders or potential leaders within our organization, but also to build a bigger talent pool globally. There was a study that suggested it's going to take 135 years for the gender balance to shift. So if we carry on at the current rate that we are operating and the current processes we have in place, it's going to take 135 years to get anywhere near that gender balance shift. At Yum, we run Mentor Her programs, and they're specifically designed to hone in on those high potential female leaders. We also have dedicated employee resource groups to help solve this exact problem. I think from the top of the organization, it requires sponsorship, it requires awareness, and it requires a push right from the top. And that's just one of the ways that we can shape diversity of thought through leadership. But the organizational culture as a whole always filters through. So whether that's from right at the top of the organization or, you know, on ground level, we need to do that from both ends. And that's through awareness. The leaders need to give space and time to enable this to solidify. But it's going to take a shift. But they're fundamental in what the future looks like.